In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my God and my King, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 4. And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.
Amen, amen. Kayla Hayden from Bright Alternatives. She's the new executive director, and her family. Welcome to everybody. Come on up. And we are thrilled to be able to support Bright Alternatives. So go ahead and share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Hi, everyone. Thank you all for being so welcoming this morning to my family and I. I just want to introduce myself again. My name's Kayla Hayden. I'm brand new pretty much to Bright Alternatives. I started late last year, so in December, as the director, and I actually was coming in as a volunteer. And the Lord was like, nope, that's not what's going to happen. So it was actually a beautiful thing that I was called, and I fought it for a while. But finally, as we all do, eventually we surrender and know that God's plan is the best plan. So I have a little one myself. So I, spent a lot of years, almost 3.5 years, wondering exactly why I was in the position I was. I'm a single mom coming out of a pretty tough relationship, and it just hit me, and it was like, this is why. So my purpose as the director is just to be able to love these women, like I wish I would have been loved during that time, that I was loved by my family during that time, but a lot of these young women and men don't have the good family support. So we get to be there and be the hands and feet of Jesus every single day, and just be able to love people and meet them where they're at. So I had a couple things that one of the ladies, Ms. Shea, had asked me to just let you guys know that this would be important information, but we had our banquet earlier this year in May, and we raised over $56,000, and that's growing continuously, so praise the Lord for that. That was just an incredible experience. I was able to speak a little bit about my own testimony, which was tough. But I was able to do that alongside of the previous executive director, who we kind of just did that together. We're able to speak what was on both of our hearts, and it was a beautiful time. So a lot of people gave to that. It was a great evening, raised so many funds, and there have been so many amazing things that have been happening for Bright Alternatives. So June 9th, just a week or two ago, we had our grand opening of our new building in Bradford. But as a ministry, Bright Alternatives just celebrated its 32nd anniversary. So yes, June 9th was that date. That was amazing. We had some people come by to the Bradford Center and just be able to see what we do and see what our missions are. So that was incredible. She said that it would be great for you all to know we serve 40 unique families. So that's also growing, especially as we just had our grand reveal in Bradford. We have gotten 4 new clients last week in Bradford. So yes, every single one that came through the door, I was teary-eyed, and I was like, this is just amazing that we get to love people right off the street in Bradford. But the same in Wellsville. We're right down on North Main Street in Wellsville in the Presbyterian Church, for those that don't know. And we're just getting really amazing opportunities there. The elder board, agreed that we can put a Bright Alternative sign, affix that to the side of the church. So in Wellsville, we will be much more present. We have a little decal and we have a trifold at the end of the street, but this will have anyone driving by, they should be able to see that much better. It's an amazing opportunity for both locations right now, and I know that God is going to use this and us just to be able to grow the ministry, whether that be location, whether it be staff and volunteers. But I know that clients are going to come in much more frequently at a greater capacity, and I'm just very excited. Thankfully, I'm new, I'm fresh, I've got the energy to do so, but it is so exciting to be able to see where we go with this. But the bottles, this is an incredible campaign that just funds our everyday operations. So a baby bottle full of change seems little, but it amounts to hundreds of dollars per church. It's just incredible to see, I'm seeing, okay, I'm just dumping a handful of bottles in, but it is. Every time, it never fails. It's been $100, $200, $300, $900 each time. So that's amazing to see out of each church. We do what's called an Earn While You Learn program. So that is what, when we say we fund daily operations with these bottles, we're funding a program for each and every client. So everyone that walks through our doors, man, woman, child, has the ability to enroll in a program that is classes, educational classes that allow them to meet them exactly where they are, whether they want to get better at parenthood, whether they would like to learn how to co-parent better, or they're coming into a season where they're going to be a single parent, or, we live in a broken world. This is very, very prevalent, and unfortunately, it's the more popular route that a lot of parenthood journeys are going these days, but I've actually learned a lot myself, I'll be honest. But each person can kind of choose and be honest with us about what exactly they'd want to get better at. So we go through, we enroll them in the course, and they earn credits. Each credit is worth diapers and wipes, clothing, different things. So it's like they're going to school, but everything's free to them. So we're holding them accountable. We're empowering them and equipping them with education to say, this is what you need to do for yourself to get better, but we're going to love you through the whole process. So we don't say that we're a handout place. They can come in. We give them emergency services and supplies if they need it. Obviously, we will welcome them with open arms, but from that next day forward, it is up to them to make the decision to take care of themselves as well, which for the long term is the only way to make that change. I'm living proof of that too. Until I allowed myself to heal and grow and then did the things for myself, I didn't get anywhere. I was the little single mom that was staying and living in brokenness. So it is just one of those things we love to do. We love to see the growth, even from pregnancy to birth, but then we get to experience that from birth until they're 4, 5, 6, 7. We have a lot of older kids, so toddlers and little ones. So that has just been an amazing thing for me to experience, but to be able to facilitate now, to be able to empower these people and say, okay, we got this. We have it together. We are here with you through the entire thing, but you have to do the things for yourself too. So we accept diapers and wipes, clothing, we give bouncers, we do everything that we are giving away is essentially brand new because we want it to feel like a genuine shopping experience for our clients. But then we have lots of other goodies that for those that are trying really hard that aren't getting enough credits or they need more than that, we get to slip a little of the used stuff in with the brand new things. So it's awesome. It's amazing to see people that are coming into this ministry for the first time or being able to now fully understand the full scope of what we do, just what they end up feeling led to do and give, and whether it be time, volunteerism, supplies, resources, things like that. So I just appreciate the support. The baby bottles, incredible thing. I'm so appreciative that I was able to have a few minutes to speak. But happy Father's Day to all the men out there as well. I hope you feel special today, and thank you so much for supporting the ministry. Yes, sir.
Do you guys have any connection with the process of adoption for women who do not wish to keep the baby?
Yep, we have resources that allow them to know what to do, and we support them through the process, but we're not affiliated with any. So we're a 501c3. We are not state or federally funded or regulated, so we don't have any affiliations that way, but we will help support them through the adoption process. Yep, we have a whole sector that our volunteers are trained in that. Yeah?
So since we still have you up in front of us,
yeah,
can you sort of, you've mentioned kind of in general this and that. What are the services that Bright Alternatives offers to women that come to you? What kinds of, there kind of a laundry list you could give us?
Yes, and I actually put some pamphlets out there in case anyone wants to know the full exhaustive list.
Sure.
But one of our main things we do is peer counseling. We say peer because it can be anyone off the street that has a heart to volunteer and serve our ministry. They are not certified counselors, but they become certified through our ministry. So they go through the entire training process. I had to do the same. And it's extensive. And so everyone coming out of that training will feel confident enough to take on any client. So that is counseling. That is the parenthood journeys. That is the co-parenting, single parenting. But we also have some really awesome opportunities, abortion recovery. So we come, their first day when they sit down in front of us, we say we would never offer abortion, we will never refer out for abortion, and we are a pro-life ministry. That's very clear the first moment they're with us, but we do then the work to make them, to allow them to heal from previous decisions. So that's something also, unfortunately, very popular, very accessible via a pill. Like we're battling against just a pill, you know, that someone can say take it and that can go away. which saddens me, but it allows us, we get the opportunity now to help them moving forward if they do make that decision. But just different things, we have resources referring out to, we have WIC right down the road, we have the YWCA right down the road, we have Destinations, which is considered a food pantry and resource, alternative resource for them. So we have a lot of things right next door. We're neighboring three of them within walking distance. So just to be able to refer out for different resources as well.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, we're going to keep you here for just another moment because
sure.
we want to take a moment and pray over this ministry.
Thank you.
And in the day and age that we live in, I don't know if there is a single more important issue in our country than life. I think God help us and the great sin of our country for shedding so much innocent blood. So we're thrilled to be able to partner with this ministry, and it's a joy to have you guys. We're just so happy that you're here. So if you would just stretch out your hand and let's pray together for our sister Kayla. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you have brought this precious lady, Lord, into this position, Lord, and it's evident from the joy on her face that she has a passion to help women and men and children, Father, and to bring the message of life, Lord. And God, we pray in Jesus' name for an explosion of this ministry in Bradford and in Wellsville and throughout the region. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that there would just be an explosion of life, Father, that would push out this awful cloud of abortion that has come to steal the lives of children, come to ruin men's and women's lives, Father. God, the great sin and the great evil that's come to our land because of that. And Father, we pray blessing upon Bright Alternatives in both of those locations. And Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would lead young girls, Father, that need help, Lord, right to their door. Father, in Jesus' name, and raise up more laborers to work with them and to partner with them. Father, provide even more funds. Lord, we thank you for that, all the money from that banquet. But God, I pray that you would take it and multiply it even further, Lord. Give people, Lord, a vision to want to support this ministry and all that you want to do in the lives of people, Lord, that come to them. God, we thank you. We pray that you would bless them, and we pray that you would protect them. We pray for protection over their facilities, over their people, over their equipment, everything that they've got. Protect them, Lord, and bless them. Thank you. Thank you for Kayla. Give her the spirit of wisdom. Give her grace as she administrates, Lord. Lead her, guide her, speak to her. Bless her staff. Use them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You.
Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, such a precious thing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you support somebody in life, please understand that there's nothing closer to the heart of God than that. We are in a time now where since Roe v. Wade, 65 million abortions in our country. And you wonder, dear God, how can God spare his judgment when his judgment came on Manasseh in the Old Testament for shedding innocent blood? Dear God, have mercy. So if we're smart, we're going to support pro-life means, and this is a chance for it. Glory to God. So we are super thankful for you. We really are. It's a wonderful blessing. I'm so grateful that we have a ministry like that in our area. Glory, glory be to God. Amen. All right. Well, gee, moving right along. It's kind of hard to move on from that. It's just such a wonderful thing. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today we're going to, Adam, you can go ahead. I'm up down at the bottom there. I should be anyway. There I am. There is one body and there is one spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful today for your word. I pray that you would lead us as we look into your word. And God, we thank you for every precious person that's here today. Every valuable life that's precious in your sight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I have a whole bunch of scriptures to walk you through, and you say, Pastor Dave, what else is new? You do this to us every Sunday. I hope that I have actually made them large enough. There was so much of the word that I wanted to put up, but we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 through 31, as a full gospel church, we're really well versed in the first 8 verses that talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm going to center a little bit more on the following verses today. 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is a unit. And it's just talking about your physical body right now. The body is a unit, though it is composed of many parts. And although its parts are many, they all form one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. For the body does not consist of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, wouldn't that be weird? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the members of the body, every one of them, according to his design. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we consider less honorable we treat with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with special modesty, whereas our presentable parts have no such need, but God has composed the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its members should have mutual concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And now we come to the point. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a member of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workings of miracles, and those with gifts of healings, helping, administration, various tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. I want to sort of just put a magnifying glass right up there on verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ. And each of you is a member of it. simply said, that means you are a part of the body. You are a part of the body of Christ. The comparison he puts is with the natural body. It's comprised of many, many parts, and our body has lots of parts, and it's vital, though, that every part work together. And every single part is important. Every single part is important. Can we do without a body part? Well, sure, people do that all the time. How'd you like to walk around with only one hand? Well, you could do it. But do you want to? You would be considered handicapped. You want to go around without a foot? Yes, there are people who go around without parts of their body, but we would call them handicapped. It makes life really hard. That's how valuable every part of your body is. You need every part of it. So what happens in the body of Christ if we don't have every part working? What happens? The body of Christ is going to limp around like it's handicapped. So I have a question for you. What is your part in the body of Christ? What is your part? The scripture says you are a member. You're a part. Now, first of all, I want to tell you how incredibly cool that is. You are part of the body of Christ. Can you imagine it? That is the coolest thing ever. We get to be part of Jesus' body. That is such a mind-blowing, incredible privilege. What's your part? What's your part? Well, Pastor Dave, I'm not sure. Today's a good day to find out. You know, God doesn't want it to be a deep, dark secret from you. He wants to reveal it to you. He wants to reveal to you what you are. Maybe you're a foot. Maybe you're a hand. Maybe you're an eye. Maybe you're a pinky. I'm only a pinky. Do you know what life is like without a pinky? It's not a happy life. Every single part is important. The only thing that makes one part more important than another part is our brain, because it doesn't matter to God. Does it? It says right in here that all of those parts are vital. Every bit of it. You know, and so what's your part in the body? And we may have ambition, and we may have things that we would like to do, but the important part is the submission. I heard our sister Kayla say this morning that she kind of danced around it for a while, and then she finally had to submit to the part. Dunk. There was a Kayla-shaped part. And she wasn't sure she wanted to go in there. There is a Judy-shaped part. There's a Kate-shaped part. There's an Arminio-shaped part. There's a Carl-shaped part. But it's God. It's God that chooses. And it's crucial to know that it's God's choice, not ours. But I want to be a... Well, it's God's choice. Our part in the body is determined by God. Romans 9, 20 and 21. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Have you ever talked back to God about who you are? You ever complained to him about how he's made you, how you're dissatisfied? Do you know that our culture is designed with the goal to make you dissatisfied with yourself? There is an absolute plot in every bit of the media to make you not like yourself, because then they can't sell you something that they'll tell you will make you like yourself more. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make from the same lump of clay one vessel for special use and another for common use? In other words, God made you the way he wanted to make you, and that's the way you are, and embrace it. Receive it. It's who you are. I spent years being really unhappy that I was a skinny person. Now, some of you look at me, you're like, yeah, Pastor Dave, I spend my whole life trying not to be big and you're skinny. Well, I fought against it. I didn't like it. I watched my mom for years go through her life hating the way she was. Oh, it was a terrible problem. Her whole life. She could have been so much happier, but she couldn't accept it. The world is trying to get you to not want to accept the person and the ministry and the thing that God has built you to do. I had a lady that I knew, and she was absolutely convinced that she was supposed to be in full-time ministry. She was convinced that she was supposed to be in ministry. The only problem was nobody around here bore witness to it at all. She was not suited for ministry, but she was determined that she was supposed to be in ministry. And she used to say things like, well, if I was born a man, I'd be a pastor. And you could hear the distress in her. I'm like, well, do you think God made a mistake? I don't think so, but struggle, 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 struggle. I watched this girl struggle for years of her life, fighting against the person that God had made her. She had an ambition for something else. I know another person who just had a strong desire to sing, just wanted to sing, wanted to be a singer, and wanted to sing in the choir. Well, there was a problem. She couldn't really sing. It wasn't that she couldn't. She just wasn't that great. She was just, frankly, grindingly horrible. And she was bound and determined to sing with the choir of this particular church. Well, and the person who was directing it encouraged her. She said, oh, she's giving her best to the Lord. I would say, no, she's giving her worst to the Lord. We used to have a lady that would come by through our church in Fredonia, and she used to say, find what you can do for the Lord and do it well. And we sort of changed that and said, find what you don't do well for the Lord and don't do it. Oh, yeah, no, it's important to know the fit and to know the place. But everybody has a place in the body. Every single person has a place in the body of Christ. Every person. Every single person. Did it just change? I tell you what, post-COVID brain, it's just absolutely true. Just as each of us has one body with many members and not all members have the same function, so in Christ we who are many are one body and each member belongs to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If one's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving, let him give generously. If it is leading, let him lead with diligence. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Click. No, that was all. Can't see any more of my secrets yet. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a gift. Do you know that you have a job in the body of Christ? Do you know that you have a gift? Do you know that there's giftings? I don't have any gifts. Oh, don't you call God a liar. He's gifted you. He's gifted you. God's given you things in you that you can do. I remember my mom, she used to say, I don't have any gifts. I can't do anything. And yet, if somebody came to our house, they were treated like a king or a queen. And she could cook. She was hospitable. My mother, I remember when my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, came to our house, I remember you just said you felt so welcomed. Welcomed. It was like a safe place to go to my parents' house because my mom had this precious gift of hospitality. She didn't think she had any gift, but it just came out of her so naturally. And we would go there and it'd just be like, ah, oh, this is nice. Now, was she standing up in front performing miracles and preaching to thousands? No, but she had a gift and it was needed. And it was a blessing, and you have a gift that is needed and will bring blessing to the body of Christ. Oh, glory to God. Oh, everybody has a gift. And if you don't think you got one, the devil has done his work on you, because you do. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Yeah, well, that's what kids do. I was just up with my grandchildren, and they walk and talk like children. But we took them to the ice cream shop, and my little one-year-old grandson wore most of his ice cream home. My three-year-old granddaughter, though, they had pictures of her at the same age, and of course she wore most of her ice cream home. Well, not now. She's 3 years old, and she's using her spoon, and she's wiping her mouth, and she's keeping herself. I didn't point out that she had, you know, down the front of her dress. But she was trying, as a three-year-old, trying to be so clean and dainty. And I think she was very proud of herself and watching her brother be a total slob and flinging ice cream all over. But, you know, as a child, an infant, a little kid, they're just completely dependent upon their parents. They can't do anything for themselves, not much anyway. But as he or she grows, they develop living skills. They become, we hope, more independent, we hope. And ultimately, the child is hoped to become a contributing member of society. And so it is in the body of Christ. We want people to grow up and go from being those who are taken care of to those who can go and take care of others. Take care of others, where we don't have to be propped up so much anymore that we can go out and then have a care for others. And boy, is that a needed thing. Ephesians 4:15-16, then we will no longer be infants tossed about by the waves and carried around by every wind of teaching and by the clever cunning of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. From him, the whole body fitted and held together by what? By every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love through the work of each individual part. Each individual part. That means you are crucial to the work of God. You are. You're crucial to the work of God. The body of Christ needs you. Oh, glory to God. You are the body of Christ. Everyone has a place in the body. And number three, God has invested in you as part of the body. And he's looking for a return. He's looking for a return on his investment. For it is just like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. It's interesting that it talks about, when it talks about talent, it's not talking about some kind of, you know, being able to sing or something. It's not that kind of talent. It's a talent is an amount of money. Just in case you probably all knew that already. The issue is not how much he gave to each one. We're going to see that in a minute, although it does delineate that there were some differences. But it says each according to his own ability. Maybe some of them were able to handle more, some less. And he went on his journey. The servant who had received the 5 talents went at once and put them to work and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the servant who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The servant who had received the 5 talents came and presented 5 more. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The servant who had received the 2 talents also came and said, master, you have entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And this is where a lot of the emphasis now gets put on the really, on the downside of it. I want to spend more of my time on the upside of it, but it's part of the scripture, so we'll look at it. Finally, the servant who had received the 1 talent came and said, master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. You wicked, lazy servant, replied his master, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. If you look at that, the amount of the talents is not really what's important. The one had 5, one had 2, one had 1. That's not important. Do you notice that the one with 5 and the one with 2 basically got the same reward? They basically got the same reward. They said, well done. You did great. You did something. It was just the one that was out of fear decided to just dig a hole and hide it. Do you know the devil would love to have you out of fear just sort of be the turtle that goes thunk in the shell? Because it's safe in there. I'm not coming out. I don't like it out there. And hide the thing that God has put in you when what he wants to do is get it out and reward you. Reward. God wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give increase to you. He wants to give more. Every servant was entrusted with an investment. The amount of the investment wasn't important, only what was done with it. Only what was done with it. So, again, I ask you, what is your part in the body of Christ? What is your part in the body of Christ? Again, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a member of it. You know that the devil has come and wants to sell us a bill of goods. He tries to rob people of their expectation to be used in the power of the Spirit. He tells you you don't have a calling and you don't have a ministry. It's not for you. It's just for somebody else. It's for the pastor or somebody else in the church. No. There is a great, I would call it a propagated lie in the body of Christ. And it has come over years and years and years and years and years. In America, we have developed a model for the church. And I don't think it's quite so prevalent now as it was 50 years ago. You have a church and you hire a pastor. The pastor comes and the pastor does the ministry. All the ministry. The people just come. And they come on Sunday. The pastor preaches the sermon. The pastor mows the lawn. The pastor does, oh, thank God I don't have to mow the lawn. But there has been a sense of, for years and years and years and years, this idea of clergy and laity. I hate those titles. I hate them. I have to say it the right way. Ready? I am the clergy, and you are the laity. Oh, please. Please, pardon me while I throw up in my mouth a little bit. There's just no other way to say it. It's disgusting. It's horrible. The whole idea of clergy and laity is so arrogant. It's nasty. One thing I loved about Gene Miller, I mean, remember Gene Miller, the pastor of the York's Corners Mennonite Church? He just passed away recently. His statement when you went there is he'd say, who's the minister? He said, the whole congregation. Everybody. They're the ministers. And it's true. We're called to minister. The only thing I'm called to do is to help you go minister. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. My job is, if you're a hand, I want to help you to be the best hand you can be. If you're an eye, I want you to be the best eye. If you're a foot and you're not doing your job, I might want to give you a little kick. Say, go be the foot. Do your job. Yeah. At the church that I got saved in Fredonia, Bible Christian Fellowship, one thing I noticed, and I didn't really notice it until the pastor was gone and I filled in, and I was speaking, at the end we always had a big prayer line, and people came up with all kinds of needs, and what a prayer line. I mean, that was like the best part of the service, because people started getting healed and the demons would be coming out of people. It's just amazing. But when I came and I was praying for people in the pastor's stead, one thing I noticed that I hadn't ever noticed before, people come running up to me from the body and they'd have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. They come up and they say, somebody's here with such and such or this or that. And so I'd announce it. Sure enough, somebody come up. We'd pray for them. Somebody's got a spirit of that. And people were looking at me like I was something special. And I was just hearing all this stuff that people were running up and telling me that they were hearing from God. And it was amazing. Amazing to watch the body of Christ. Do you know that God might want to use you in that way? God might speak to you. God might unlock something to you, and you might be able to speak it and see something happen incredible in somebody else's life. But you can't be afraid. Do you know this thing that we read in the beginning about all the different parts of the body? The context of that is in the idea of spiritual gifts. Gifts of healings. Faith, working of miracles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all this. How cool is that? You know, that 1 Corinthians 12 that we read, all the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. Do you know God wants to use you in the supernatural? He also wants to use you in the natural. You know, if something needs to be set up, if something needs to be worked on, if there's stuff to do, sometimes we got to pitch in and do stuff. But he also wants to use you in the supernatural. He wants you to know that he can use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Are you willing to have God use you? Are you willing to step out in faith as you seek God and say, Lord, use me in a gift? Maybe you've prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and well, God, I don't know. You don't know what God might say to you. Look out! You don't know what God might say to you, or what God, how God might use you. But there are lots and lots of other spiritual gifts in the Word. And I've spent so much time already teaching on these. If you don't know, you can go back to the online archives and listen to it. But there's exhortation, there's service, there's helps, there's the gift of mercy, there's a gift of hospitality, there's a gift of teaching. Oh, and some and many of these will manifest right within the church. Others outside the church too, because we're called to the world. We're called to minister out there as well as in here, even though lots of those will exhibit themselves in the community and in the church. Glory to God. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And I would say the scripture teaches, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Take the little bit that God gives you. Take the little bit that God gives you. If you're faithful with it, He'll give you more. He'll trust you, be able to trust you with more. 2 Corinthians 10:12, this is taken a little out of context. I don't want to take the time to go into it, but the principle is still there. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. The great lie of the devil is to get you to look and compare yourself to other people. Well, I'm not like them. I'm not. No, thank God you're not. I'm glad you're you. I'm glad you're you, and I'm glad you're the person that God made you and the gifts that God has given you, and there is not one other person on the face of God's green earth that can take that spot except you. You're the one. You are. You're the one. Father, we thank you today for Lord, I thank you for every person here, and I thank you that you have entrusted with them giftings and callings and with supernatural strength in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to hearts, God, that you would release people in your Spirit. Release people in their hearts and minds from the things that have held them back from becoming all that you want them to become in the kingdom of God, because they've listened to the lies of this age. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a releasing of the gifts of the Spirit in this body. Father, I pray that people would be released to hear the voice of God, that they would move in those wonderful manifestations of the Spirit of God. Lord, let them be released in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would release people into gifts, greater gifts of service, of helps, of mercy, of hospitality. Father, all of those different giftings, Father, that are so precious and so needed, Lord. And Father, there's not one part of the body that's more important than another. We need them all. God, we need them all. Lord, I pray that you would speak to every person gathered in this house today. Father, that you would help them. Help them to know their part. And Father, over the days to come as they seek you, I pray that you would make it clear and make it obvious and more clear. And Father, that they'd be faithful with what you give them. And Lord, then you're able to entrust them with more. Maybe they're just going to pray in the Spirit right now. But as they grab onto that precious gift and use it, you can bring more. Maybe they have an opportunity to serve a brother or a sister. God, give them the grace to be faithful, and then you'll use them in more. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you. I pray you would just bring to all of the people here an explosion of your purpose, your sense of purpose in every life. Father, thank you that in Christ we have purpose and we're valuable. We're valuable in your sight. No one is worthless. Everyone is worth, has their worth. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. I pray that you would encourage each person and empower them and use them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you want prayer, I invite you to come forward. Someone will be here to pray with you. And we do believe in the power of the Spirit of God to heal bodies, to bring deliverance. Whatever you need, there's help in Christ Jesus. And if not, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you again. If you need prayer, please don't leave today without prayer. God bless you. Thank you.